All right, we're in Proverbs chapter 2 tonight, and just by way of review, we have taken the previous 2 weeks and looked at the bottom part of our chart, or the first half of chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs. And in this chapter, God gives us His way to right living. In other words, He gives us a prescription or instructions on how we can be assured to walk in wisdom, to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. Now, of course, I trust that that is all of our heart's desire, and it should be our desire to walk in a way that is pleasing to God. But let's face it, there are times in our lives when we're not. There are times when we have loved ones that are not, and there are times when people come and approach us and say they know they're not living the right way, and they just need some direction, need some help. Book of Proverbs, very practical, and it gives this insight on from the heart of God on how you can be assured to walk in the right way, God's way. In your worksheets there, you see a home, and you see your dwelling place. The foundation of the home, there's step one. If I receive God's words, hide God's commandments, incline my ear to God's wisdom, apply my heart to understanding, cry after knowledge, lift up my voice for understanding, seek for wisdom as silver, search for wisdom as for hidden treasure. Those are verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2. All of these are action words, and the importance here is the taking action or developing a seeking heart. That is the foundation. This is the first step that a person needs to do. And this is all, remember, under the grace of God at work in your life. Okay, let's not forget that important point. But as God is at work in your life, you purpose to take action. And God here in this chapter shows us what kind of actions we are to be taking. And they are centralized on God's word and His commandment, His wisdom, His understanding. So it's important that we develop a seeking heart, that we seek to have a heart that is longing, that is hungry for God and His word. So you move from the foundation to the main structure, the living place of this home. And verses 5 through 9 of chapter 2, we read these things. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up a sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment, and preserves the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. We talked about last time understanding the fear of the Lord, and in other words, relating to God, understanding how to relate to God in worship. So if you take action, then you shall understand how to relate to God and understand the fear of the Lord and the worship of God. You also will understand, as you see the walls of this structure, you will also be able to find the knowledge of God. Find the knowledge of God. And the Word of God is a storehouse of God and His attributes. It is a wonderful treasure that when we open its pages, we can find and understand truths about God on every single page. We see then that the ceiling that surrounds us is, if we take action, then we shall understand the right way. So we dwell in a place where, after we've taken action and we develop the seeking heart, we understand how then to worship God, we understand more about God, and we understand God's way. We know what is the right standard, we know what the right decisions are, we know what the right way is, and therefore God shows us the right path. Now, of course, the major application of this is not necessarily how to make decisions in life on which college to go to or whether to quit my job here and go to this job. It's more in the area of living and how to live correctly in a way that's pleasing to God. So we've talked about those things, and we come to verses 10 and 11, which I see as kind of a strong, fulcrum, or a point of this passage, a theme verse, if you will, where you read in verses 10 and 11, "When wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." I've kind of reworded it in this way. When my heart is full of wisdom and knowledge is a welcome companion, I will find myself preserved by the discretion and understanding that they give me. Now, of course, as you think about this, you need to understand and have this belief that God's word is important. And as you understand that God's word is important, you begin to see the fruit of that belief. And then the result of that is I will find myself preserved by discretion and kept by understanding. This makes up the roof of the structure, the roof that sheds off all of the harmful things that will come at you. You realize, don't you, that when you place yourself, you're seeking after God's wisdom, and God says, "I will help you. I will show you. I will direct you." And he says, "I will keep you and preserve you by the truth that I give you, if you heed it." What a wonderful promise that is from God. That we can live in a way that's pleasing to him. That only happens because God's gracious to us, and he's showing us this way. We see that the deliverance of a seeking heart is being preserved by discretion and being kept by understanding. Where does that discretion come from? Well, it comes from the actions that you've taken is seeking after God's word. And then the fruit of that is understanding God, understanding the right way, knowing how to worship and relate to him. And you're preserved by that. And you're kept by that kind of understanding. So all of that was a review to bring us up to tonight, where we're going to look at the protection that all of this gives us. As you see in your chart there are five things that the writer here in the book of Proverbs speaks of that will come at us. And he speaks of these things to help us understand how important this structure is, that it be in place in our lives. How important it is that we understand God's way to right living. Because the reality, and I think you'll agree with me, the reality of all of these things in life, it's there. Look at your Bibles. We'll begin at verse 12, let me just pick up in verse 10, we'll get the context into verse 12. Verse 10 says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life." So the writer gives us this list. And I just want to take some time to look at this. Because These are happening all around us. They're a part of life. The way of evil. You see that in verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Or you can see man is italicized there. It is the way of the evil, or the evil way. Another way you could say that is it's the route or the traveling path of evil. You know, you could think about that in very practical ways. There are ministries out there that they have taken upon themselves to show us and direct us on how to use the internet properly. And they warn us of certain sites and areas of the internet that are harmful. There are paths and ways of evil online. So let's take this practical insight and say you're dealing with someone that has a struggle with the internet and going places on the internet that are evil. Well, as that person seeks to apply what Proverbs chapter 2 says, God's word, as they just are infused by its truth and they develop that seeking, hungry heart for God's word, the fruit of that is they'll fear God and understand God and understand what the right way is. And all of that combined together in their life is going to direct them away and deliver them from going in these paths of evil. It might be not, maybe it won't be the internet. Maybe it's certain kind of relationships or people. Maybe it's a certain route to work that has billboards or it has clubs or bars or whatever it might be. You know what? God desires to deliver people from the ways of evil. The ways of evil are places wherever evil is the dominating influence. And you know some of those places. You know where they are. I can think back of places where I've lived and where certain streets are dominated by evil. Certain streets I have to look on this side of the road and not that side of the road. You know those places. And how do you know those places? It's because of the grace of God that's given you discernment and wisdom and discretion as a result of you being hungry for Him. That's what Proverbs is telling us. You know what, dear ones? There are young Christians out there, young in the faith, that just don't understand the practicality of how important God's Word is. Proverbs chapter 2 shows us that. You know, a young Christian may struggle in areas of sin and evil. Why? It's maybe because they haven't grasped this. We can teach them. And that's part of the reason why I've tried to make this transferable. Something you can take, you can use with someone. All right, so the way of evil, it's going to come at you. But there's deliverance. Secondly, you see the perverse man. The man who speaks perverse things. I want you to notice something, that this is dealing with people. This is a person. I looked up in the dictionary the word perverse. And this is what it means. Showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable, often in spite of the consequences. Contrary to the accepted or expected standard or practice. You know people like that? People that are deliberate and obstinate in their desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable. And we could tie that to make it part of in the context here, unacceptable, unreasonable in the sight of God. May we, by God's grace, not be described as one of them. And what we're seeing here in the book of Proverbs is there is deliverance from the man that speaketh these kinds of things, that speaketh in obstinate ways. Ways that are contrary to the accepted and righteous standards of God. You realize, don't you, that God, with all of his heart, desires his people to walk and live in righteousness. Why else would he give us such things? So there's deliverance from the way of evil and from the perverse man, the man that speaks things that are deliberate and obstinate against the ways of God. Let's look at the next one. Verse 13, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, they froward in their paths. I've combined all of them into one heading called the erring ones, or the erring ones, depending on how you want to say that word. The erring ones, the ones that are choosing to go off the path. They are forsaking the straight way. If you look at your text, verse 13, who leave or forsake the paths or the way or the roadway of uprightness. Uprightness is a word, it means straight. The straight way. And what God's word is telling us is that there is deliverance from those that are, or from that way of walking that it branches off of God's way of living. The writer here gives us quite a description of this. I mean, look at this. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now, even in the Old Testament, this concept of light and darkness carried with it the idea of being evil. Darkness, evil. I mean, I want you to just go back to Psalm chapter 107. Psalm chapter 107 and verses 10 and 11. Listen to this description. We're talking about those who go in the ways of darkness. Look at verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. What a description of those that are in darkness. Here in this passage, speaking of Israel, and they rebelled against the words of God. Well, what else is there to describe the erring ones? They leave the paths of uprightness. They walk in the ways of darkness. They rejoice to do evil. You know, you look at this and we shake our head at why would somebody rejoice to do evil? But there are people that do. They love it. And they want you to be a part of it. And that's what's coming at you, is these people that are rejoicing in evil. Not only the rejoicing in evil, but they're delighting in the perversity of evil. How perverse it is. Verse 14, they rejoice to do evil. They delight in the frowardness of the wicked. You also see in verse 15, their ways are crooked, twisted, distorted. Do you know people that try to get you to do dishonest things? People that say, if you do it this way, it's quicker, it's better, nobody's ever going to know, it's going to be fine. You know, that is not the ways of God. And the writer here is showering us with this information. There are people like this out there, but you know what? There is a way to be delivered. There's a way to be delivered. You might be interacting with someone that's caught up in a whole ring of wickedness, of distortion, of going off of the straight path. God may want to use you to help them. And you can give them hope by a passage like this. Because what does it say? It says there's deliverance. There's deliverance. You realize deliverance, don't you? Deliverance is that snatching up away from danger. It's saving. That's a precious, precious thing. So we have those that are paths that are crooked, and those, finally, in verse 15, who are, they froward in their paths, or they are devious in their ways, would be another way to say that. All right, so we are preserved and kept from the way of evil, from the perverse man, from the erring ones. Let's look next at the immoral. The immoral. In verse 16, the writer says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. In this context, this strange woman is a harlot, a prostitute. Book of Proverbs, if you've read it at all or familiar with it, the book of Proverbs talks a lot about the dangers of the strange woman. It is a very powerful and alluring sin. In the strange woman here, there is hope for men to be delivered from her. You know what? It speaks of men and women here. We could reverse it. Our culture is so perverted these days. But even there are, you could look at it in other ways as well. But the truth is that there is deliverance from the immoral, the harlot, the one who seeks to lead others into sin, lead others astray. The immoral, the harlot, is committing sin and doing things and seeking to get others to do things with her that are not in accordance with God. Now, of course, the reference here is to that of sexual pleasure, which is very clearly a sin that involves more than just the mind, but it's the body. And we know that from the New Testament passages that speak of harlotry. But there is hope. There is deliverance from the immoral woman. But not only from the immoral, but finally we also see there's deliverance from the unfaithful. If you look at the verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclines unto death, her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. I believe that the writer here is speaking, first of all, the harlot, the strange woman, the immoral, but now he's speaking of the unfaithful, the woman who forsakes her husband, who goes after other men and flatters with her words. This word flatter, its reference is to smooth talking. Words that are smooth. Words, men, that will go down nice and easy. You realize that immorality and the unfaithful, it's not fun to be there alone. So they seek others to join them there. And they want you to be there with them. They want me to be there with them. Our media is full of it. Our natural inclinations long for this. But as the grace of God changes our heart and our lives, and as we begin to take action and love and hide God's word and seek for it, understand how to relate to God and understand the right way, there is preservation from this smooth-talking world that is unfaithful and seeks to get you to be unfaithful. Look at the description of this unfaithful woman. She flatters with her words. She's a smooth talker. She leaves her husband. Look at the passage, verse 17. She forsakes the guide of her youth. That guide is a person of her youth. And most scholars believe that this is referencing the husband whom she married when she was young. So she leaves her husband and forgets the covenant of her God. Interesting, in this context, what do you think that covenant would be? I believe it's the covenant of marriage. She forgets it. She forgets the covenant that she has made. Verse 18, her house inclines unto death, inclines to sink down. Now you could look at this passage and take it in a couple of different ways. Her house sinks down unto death. Her home becomes a place of separation. In other words, by her unfaithfulness, she drives a wedge, and there is separation there in her home. There's discord. Her place becomes a tomb, her dwelling place. You also can look at the last part there and say and see her paths unto the dead, the place of the dead. Her dwelling place sinks down unto the place of the dead. Strong terminology here. And I dare say if you were to talk to someone that has been caught in this web, has chosen to go down this path of the unfaithful way, and say by God's grace they've been delivered, they would describe that situation, how they felt, the places where they were, as places that belong to dead, places of death. It's not a place of life. It's a place of darkness and wanting to hide and wanting to be separated from everything else. She flatters. She leaves her husband. She forgets the covenant of marriage. She abides on the paths of death. And she brings others down with her. There's many passages throughout the book of Proverbs that speaks of this and describes in detail what goes on in a situation where the unfaithful woman is seeking to attract a man. But you know what? We've gone through all this list, these five different things that are coming at us, but the bottom line is that there is deliverance for people. And that's what makes this passage so useful, to deliver hope to those that find themselves in sin but know it's not the place where they should be. There is deliverance. And may you and I be people that speak that deliverance to them. So we've talked about developing a seeking heart, taking action, the fruit of a seeking heart, the deliverance of a seeking heart. And now the writer just concludes this chapter, the final three verses, with the practical results in verse 20. All right, so what practically is the result of all of this, the application of all of this? Verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. You know, what is all this for? What's the purpose of all of this? Because God wants you to walk in His ways. God wants you to keep His righteous paths. That's the result. So what about the future? Verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. So there is a secure future for those that follow this description, these instructions. They're going to dwell in the land. They're going to remain in the land. And remember, let's think about this from a Jewish context. This being written when they dwelled in the land of Israel. This being written most likely before they were exiled. And the writer is seeking to tell them, listen, you follow these instructions, you live uprightly, you dwell in the land, you have a secure future, you obey my word and I will bless. That's what God tells us in Deuteronomy, that principle. Obey my ways and I will bless. Disobey and I will curse. So for the upright, there is a secure future. For the wicked, it's not so secure. But look at verse 22. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Rooted out. Is that where you want to be? I mean, the land is a picture of comfort, a picture of safety, a picture of belonging, where God is, where you belong. And to be cut off from that place, to be uprooted from that place, that is what happens to those who walk in the ways of wickedness. You know what? Every day we have choices to make. Are we going to walk God's way? Or are we going to walk the way of ourselves in the wicked way? We understand very clearly from this passage the fruit and the results of either one of those decisions. You may have opportunity either in your own life or in the life of another to share this truth, to pass this truth on. Be someone that floods others with hope that there is deliverance and finding God's way to right living. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, and understanding shall keep you. Lord, I thank you so much for that truth. I pray that you would encourage your people, as you've encouraged my heart. God, I know very well the allurement of the world and the presence of sin all around. And God, what you're teaching us tonight is just a very clear steps to being able to be delivered from these things. Oh God, would you deliver your people? Would you use us to help others to be delivered? I pray that you'd strengthen your people for the week to come. Lord, we're going to face challenges this week. Give us strength. Help us to understand the fear of the Lord and know how to relate to you in worship. Flood us with your knowledge, the knowledge of who you are. Show us the right ways to go. In Jesus' name, amen.